Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of AV Insider. As always, I'm your host, Johnny Moda. Today I have a guest who's been on the show in the past, and I'm glad to have him back, and the brand itself, obviously, as I love repeat offenders on this show, because it's always fun to learn more about the products moving forward, the roadmap, if you will, and just see what's new. But before I have the guest on, I always have to thank the sponsors. And I'd like to thank the sponsors because they keep this little Northern California cloud moving along, even though it's currently like 80-something ridiculous outside in this wintered California that I call home. Ingram Micro, the world's largest technology distributor delivering flexible multi-channel supply chain solutions and more, head over to ingrammicro.com. Check out some of my previous guests that have been on the show. As usual, I'd tell you who they are, but you could just either A, go back and listen to previous shows and figure it out for yourself, or just head over to ingrammicro.com and check out all the solutions they have for you as an integrator. I'll give you the choice. But as I had mentioned, I have Jack Sharkey, who is the marketing and communications president,
guy.
CEO, head, whatever,
absolutely.
Right?
Go with it, yeah.
Lead Imagineer at KEF. Hey, Jack, how's it going?
I'm doing good, Johnny. How about yourself?
Pretty good. It's a nice day, and I'm glad to have you back, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I do appreciate it, and you know, we love what you guys do, and we love any chance we have an opportunity to communicate with you all. So this is it's a good deal.
So let's talk a little bit about. Well, here, first of all, I'm gonna type in the old Google monster. For the last time I had you on the show, we talked a little bit about, I don't know, everything, because KEF's a big brand. You guys have so much to offer. And the last time we talked, it was episode 69. So it was a little bit about everything.
Right.
Okay.
And I think we covered everything from sort of what we do as a brand to kind of getting up on our soapboxes about vinyl and audio streaming and stuff. Actually, it was a lot of fun. So, yeah, you know, and today I'm actually really excited to come back and talk to you about, because we have a new product out that is just really, really a dynamite thing. So it's kind of cool. And you know, I was just excited to be able to share it with you guys and let you know what we're doing and all. So,
sure.
You know, if you want to get into that now or you have other things you need to kind of do, whatever you want to do.
Let's address the newest of new at KEF. What's going on there?
All right, so everybody knows about our LS50, the passive 5.25 monitors that were based on the BBC LS5A studio monitors that we released for our 50th anniversary in 2011. It's been a great product for us, and it's really been holding its own. It's a very popular product, and we're really, really super proud of it. So what the mad scientists back in engineering have spent the last couple of years doing is making that LS50 product an active speaker system and a wireless active speaker system. And so it's basically the same footprint as the LS50. It's a little bit deeper, not much. Same driver, same profile in the front and all that. But now it's completely an active system. It's completely self-contained. And I've been having the pleasure down here of testing it and running it through, and boy, I tell you, it's a dynamite piece. I'm really, really, very proud of it.
And so it's the latest edition of the LS50, but it's a full-on active wireless set of bookshelves, air quotes, if you will, because I think bookshelf is kind of a, I don't know if that's an old term for stating kind of like a smaller kind of like bookshelfy type of speaker. Even that just feels wrong saying bookshelfy speaker.
Yeah, right. But you can put them on a bookshelf, and we also have new stands that we're going to be introducing that are bespoke to the LS50. And,
okay.
So that's kind of a cool thing. So, yeah, you put them on a stand, put them on a bookshelf. But the cool thing about these is it's a dual mono biamp, 200-watt Class D amplifier for the low frequency and the mids, and a 30-watt AB amplifier for the high frequency. So, right, so you got basically two amplifiers in each box.
Okay.
And you've got four DACs in each box. And so you have a DAC for the low frequency and a DAC for the high frequency. And it has an onboard DSP that also comes with an app that you can download for your iPhone or your Android device that allows you to really fine-tune some of the equalization of the LS50 wireless. It works as a music player as well. And it also helps you with the setup through your home network and all. Really got everything working there for it. It's got Bluetooth inputs. It has Toslink. It's got your line level RCA inputs, and then USB input, and the wireless streaming input as well.
Looks like you can also connect it via Ethernet.
Yeah, it's the Ethernet is for networking and for updates and upgrades and all. Basically, though, you're dealing with five audio inputs. So that would be the five that I just mentioned. And the Ethernet is not an audio input. It's for firmware.
Okay, so RCA analog, optical, USB, and there was one more, correct? You have subwoofer capabilities.
Right.
And good.
It has a subwoofer out, right? So the five inputs, it's got Bluetooth, RCA line level, USB, Toslink, and the wireless streaming. It has a subwoofer output that is controllable. The crossover is controllable through the app. So and the cool thing it does is, you know, the low pass is active to the output of the subwoofer, mm-hmm. and that also controls a high pass filter. So if let's say you're cutting over, you're crossing over at 80 hertz, for example, you got your 80 hertz going out to the subwoofer, and then nothing below that going to the LS50. So it's a true subwoofer 2.1 system, if you will.
Since we talked about vinyl on the last show, does this have a phono stage built into these guys or no?
No, it does not.
Okay. So it's like the one thing it doesn't have.
It's the one thing it doesn't have, and there's a, you know, I'm sure there's other reasons that the engineers decided to do that beyond what I'm aware of. But with a decent phono stage preamp, you can go into the analog inputs, and most decent higher end turntables are going to have that USB stage built in too. So
okay.
So there's ways to work around that, but yeah, generally with the LS50 wireless, you're going to have a provision for that outside of the box.
And not really a downside. I think some people, I think it's kind of nice that maybe you at least have an option of, you know, on whatever rig you have at home, I have the option of using my own, which, you know, maybe I'm a purist on, oh, I want to use whoever, you know, I want to use VPI or whoever. I think these
right.
things are pretty cool looking, man.
Yeah, they are cool, aren't they? Just to revisit back on that, one of the things, though, my answer on the analog stage for the turntable is the way that I would use it is I'd use the phono preamp, go into the RCA inputs,
yeah.
and allow our ADC and our DAX on board to take care of that business, because they're real high quality, you know, they're audiophile quality ADC and DAX. So you're pretty much going to be guaranteed getting the full benefit of what we've done by doing it that way, rather than not really being sure what DAC or what ADC you'd be using outboard of that.
Okay, so you've had these, well, I'd imagine probably right before launch or at launch and at home now, kind of messing around with them.
Right, I've been playing with them. I went up to our home office, right? Because they don't let me in the home office that often. They like to keep me remote, out off doing my own thing as much as possible. And
okay.
So I got to go up there and play with it. And then I have actually two pair down here in my secret audio lair, and just been banging the heck out of them, and really, really just kind of digging on them.
Thoughts on the quality with when going wireless? I think some people have a negative connotation with wireless audio capabilities, whether it's an aptX capable speaker or not, or just Bluetooth wireless communication to any audio. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, the Bluetooth is aptX, and which is going to be just slightly below CD quality, and when you say slightly below, it really is truly not going to be noticeable. So, you know, Bluetooth is Bluetooth, and it does what it does.
Sure.
To talk about the wireless streaming, right? Hang on, just one quick second. I just want to look up something real quick.
Yeah, no problem.
Right, we're 192.24. So if your source is 192.24, and you're able to stream that way through whatever media player you might have or whatnot, you're good to go.
Okay.
Through the wireless. You're going to use some bandwidth, so you're going to need a decent router with any of these kind of any, not just with the KEF stuff, but with anybody that's doing this. Your cable company router is probably going to be a little bit on the softer side of what you need. So to really get the full enjoyment out of it, you need to beef up a little bit.
Okay. Now, is this one of the products? And because I don't recall, you can buy stuff through dealer at KEF, or there is the KEF Direct website, but I don't believe that everything at KEF Direct is offered from the full line of KEF products. Is that correct?
Well, the real high-end stuff, when you get into Blade and Blade 2 and all, we offer it, but we do it as a concierge service. So let's say you're in the San Francisco area and you hit us on KEF Direct and you want to buy a pair of Blade, we're going to hook you up with our dealer in that area, and he's going to come out and set it up. It's a little bit more white glove,
Okay.
just because of the scale of that product. The LS50 wireless is available through your dealers. It's available through KEF Direct, and it's really a plug and play kind of an operation. So it shouldn't be very difficult to work with. And one of the things I always get to do when I test things is I get to play stupid, and I get to just not even read anything. I'm one of those guys, because when I buy something else, I don't use the QSG. I don't no quick start guide for me. I plug it in and see where I can go, and I go as far as until the dead end hits me. And with the app and all, super easy to get set up. Super easy to get the wireless set up. Even using it with a Windows machine and stuff. Now, with a Mac, you're going to be needing AirPlay, but with a Windows machine, you go straight DLNA, and you're good to go.
I like the idea where, I mean, so KEF has really, really high-end stuff. There's no doubt about that. And not that the LS50 wireless isn't really what I would call high-end. I mean, I think it still qualifies of a very, would qualify in a hi-fi system, regardless of being Wi-Fi capable. I think that's just an adder to what KEF is providing. What I like is there was this idea a few years back, or at least what I was seeing with other audio companies in the CI industry or the custom install industry, that I saw, the CD channel, I don't know, four or five-ish years ago, where I started to see some of the higher end companies put out, maybe not their typical, here's my this really beautiful cabinet two channel system. This is what we do. This is our bread and butter. They start to put out, here's kind of like a test into the younger market. We're really trying to reach out to a different crowd, or not necessarily a different crowd, what will be our future customers that will eventually become our normal high-end bread and butter products. So they start putting out a sub-brand that still kind of has that voice sound across their product line, but not quite, top of the line or anywhere near it really. But something a bit more affordable. Something for maybe college students or someone that's interested in audio, but not just the typical, here's the earbuds that my cell phone came with, and or here's, something I found at, big box store that, just, something, It was something a little higher end that you would find at the store, but is now maybe either offered at a store and from the X brand. And it kind of gives the younger market a taste of what quality audio should be, or could be. And from there, I think what that does is it builds the younger generation to become a bit more familiar that there is better quality audio out there. It's not just a, here's a $20 headphone. And I think to some people that is still a little expensive for what they think things should cost. And by all means, I think we all know that you could spend $20, or you could spend thousands and thousands of dollars, or multiple cars on a good system.
Right.
So I feel that KEF is kind of like in this market now too. You have wireless products, because this isn't the only product that's wireless from KEF. You have, and I always say it wrong, is it the Muo? Is that what it is? The little wireless?
It is the Muo,
Muo.
yes.
Okay,
It's
so the little Bluetooth speaker Muo wireless option, which I kind of feel like that's a very portable device. It's a wireless option for not everyone's into the being tethered, right?
Right, it's battery powered. It's you can link two of them together and get stereo. You get 12 hours out of a battery charge. You can take it with you wherever you go. You have your phone and you have your Muo. You've got some really high end some music there. What I the way I think you make a really good point. I think the best way to look at this is the LS50 wireless is a way. Well, let me circle back. Audio to me has always been about a journey, right? We all start with what we can afford,
Yep.
and you know, and then we get more into the hobby, or we get more into our love of music, or whatever it is. And as we move down our journey, we can afford more, and we can afford better quality things, higher end things, whatever it happens to be. And what the LS50 wireless does is for the list price of that, you get a full blown near audiophile. In fact, at 192.28, it is audiophile level speaker system, completely self-contained. So you can use, you know, your library, whatever your downstream, whatever your streaming devices is, wherever your library is, and you would not be able to get a separate amplifier and two speakers passive for near the price of this, because you'd be, you know, another $1,000 for a preamp and for a decent amplifier. So, you know, you'd be at $3,200 or $3,500 to get passives and an integrated separate amp with streaming. Whereas here for $2,200, you've got a full contained high end speaker system. It's the same Uni-Q in our other LS50s, which is the same design as what's in our Blade, which is the same thing that we do, you know, across the board. So it's allowing people who listen to music differently now through digital and through wireless, and they have different lifestyles and all, but it's allowing them to get that same high-end experience that they were never really able to get before with the way that they listen. So that's what to me is most exciting about it.
So let's talk a little bit more about this product in question, or not in question, that we're covering. The LS50 wireless, is this something that's available to buy today? I know that you have a set, but is it available to purchase today?
It's pre-ordered today, shipping on December 1st. December 1st or December 5th, I'm not sure what the date is. Let's just call it the first week in December.
Okay.
So we're pre-ordering today. If you know, I'm not sure when this is going to air, but by the time, you
Very
know,
soon.
this yeah, right. So I would suggest kind of pre-order, and that's just not the marketing guy in me. That's like the guy in me that loves the product. Because we're expecting this thing to go pretty hot, especially during the time of the year that it is. But if you're buying it today or in the next couple of weeks, you should have the box in your hands, depending on where you live, you know, that first week in December.
Okay. Can I say where I'm on Kef Direct already getting ready to pick my favorite color and
There
pre-order
you
myself right in time for the
go.
holidays. It shows a pre-order price. Can I say what it is?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so it looks like it's $21.99 pre-order. So that we talked about, what you get is a set of LS50s and wireless. It's got five. I'm sorry, it's got two amplifiers each for biamping. Is that
It's
they're because they
dual
are biamped,
mono.
dual mono?
Yes,
Okay.
it's dual mono biamp, so you got two amps in each speaker.
Five inputs, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, optical, analog, USB, and then it's got a Ethernet for updates, correct?
Right,
Okay.
exactly. Yeah.
You're basically getting, like you said, an audiophile grade set audio system, essentially, for what this is. To buy that separately, good luck. It's just not gonna happen.
Exactly. It's, I mean, not for that price, there's no way you can get close,
No.
because it's, you know, let's just say, you know, the regular LS50 at $1,500, and then to get an amp that's going to match the quality of that speaker, you're in a grand. You're easy in a grand. You know, so here what we're able to do is basically for $700 more, we're giving you a full-blown, real high-end digital audio system that sounds the same as the LS50 does with a really well-matched amp.
And again, so what I think is that this is another product that is kind of like fitting into the digital era. And while it's not specifically digital, it just gives you the option if that's your flavor of getting your music, then we're ready for
Right.
that. It's there.
Right.
It's all built in. Going to the finishes, I see gloss black and blue because the woofer slash tweeters are blue.
Right.
The gloss white and copper, which is a very classic look in my opinion. And the gray and red, which all these finishes honestly look really, really nice. I think I'm going to have a tough time trying to determine which one I want. So anyone out there who would like to pre-order me a Christmas present, I would take any color that you choose, and you can just ship it to me. I'll send you that information in an email or at the end of the show. And you can go to kefdirect.com and pre-order that currently, right now, shipping December 1st, according to Jack. And if you don't get it shipped out on the 1st, well, sorry. There's a high demand. I don't know what to say. There's a high demand. Pick your colors now.
Give us a couple of days, you know, either side of that, just to get the guys in the warehouse to get the address labels on them correctly, and we'll be set. But that's the shipping date of them, and we're really anticipating so heavy demand on it. So, you know, that's a good problem for us, and we'll do the best we can to get them out on time.
I don't know if we talked about this in the last episode where I had you on the show. Kef has a really unique design with her woofer and tweeter, as the tweeter module is built into the woofer, which I don't think anyone is doing that. It looks I'm fairly convinced it's unique to Kef.
Well, yeah, we own the patent on it. We've been working on it for about 30 years. So, you know, we're several multiple generations of design into this. And really the best way to describe it to you is if you're listening to me speak or you're listening to your favorite singer or whatever, all the frequencies of your singer come from one point.
Single source. Now, sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Single source. So what the UniQ does is it moves the tweeter in timeline with the lower frequencies. So it's the ultimate benefit that you get from that is it really widens the sweet spot up. So as opposed to, you know, in the old days you had your favorite chair, and this was the chair that got the best stereo image and the best sound stage, and nobody else could sit in it. You were like Sheldon on, you know, Big Bang Theory. This was your spot. You couldn't move. And now by broadening that sweet spot out into nearly 180 degrees around the front of the speakers, that same imaging, that same sound stage is available to everybody in the room. So that's the major benefit of that design. And we're really, really proud of that. And that's our UniQ. And of course the LS50 features the 5 1/4 UniQ.
Every time I look at that and the way you've just described basically what it is, I think to myself, I'm like, yeah, well that makes sense, because when anyone talks, it's from a single source, a single area. It's not two different mouth sources overlapping each other. It's from a single source. And right. to think about that, that's what the UniQ is. It's a single source all in one, and it's just brilliant. I'm like, it just makes sense.
Yeah, think about it the other way around. When music is recorded, now obviously there's multiple microphones and
sure,
for multiple. But if we just took James Taylor and his guitar and his voice, right? You know, that's him in a single microphone, just kind of doing his thing. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of different frequencies there, and speakers don't handle multiple frequencies very well. You need for lower frequencies, you need a big driver that moves slow and is kind of sluggish, and you know, to be able to push that air out, and then you're not going to be able to run your high frequencies through that. And conversely, high frequencies need something that acts quick, that reacts fast, and can vibrate very quickly and very loosely, which obviously you send some nice big fat bass notes through there, and you're going to blow your tweeter out. So you always would have these different speakers in different locations. So the window of where those frequencies would meet naturally, where they were supposed to meet, was very small. But now what happens is we move everything into a single source, and like I said, and then you broaden that out. The best example of that is what we did with our Blade, because if you I'll try to describe it for everybody to visualize who haven't seen the Blade. You have facing you, you have a UniQ, which does your medium, your mid-level frequencies and your high frequencies, excuse me. And then around that, you've got four bass drivers surrounding that. Now, bass can move sideways or laterally or forward. It doesn't matter, because those frequencies, the frequency wavelengths are so long. So what you've actually done, if you can imagine, if you've got four bass drivers just inches apart from each other, and then right smack in the middle of that, you have your mid frequencies and your high frequencies, you have your single source at that point. And if you've ever had a chance to listen to a Blade, I don't have a pair in my home. I wish I did. If anybody from KEF is listening and they'd like to get me a Christmas present, but if you get a chance to listen to them, they're really spectacular because the three-dimensionality of the soundstage is you close your eyes and it's like you're sitting in a concert hall. It's amazing.
I've heard The Blade, but not The Blade 2.
Yeah. Blade 2 and Blade are extremely similar in sound. You know, there's obviously it's a difference in scale. The Blade 2 is about 33% less volume than The Blade, so, you know, but it's not a 33% diminishment of performance. It's a very subtle change between The Blade and The Blade 2.
I didn't quite get a chance to tour the entire KEF booth. And in fact, at CEDIA, I went in there one morning before the show opened, and I was like, is Jack here? And the guy's like, oh, they don't let him out of the shop. he doesn't get to come to see it. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, I go kind of every other year. Okay. I don't know if I should have a complex, if it's the people in the office or what it is, or maybe I'm just so valuable, you know, at my desk that they can't let me out. I'm not sure, and I try not to think about it.
They need you out there spreading the word about KEF, man.
That's it, babe. That's what I do. Yeah.
The product speaks for itself, but they need you out and about directing people to the shows, to the websites, to their local dealers, a little bit about everything. And I should also mention doing your guys' own podcast, right? The Listening Room?
Yeah, which I was honored to have you as one of our first guests. That was really exciting.
I was honored, man. I'm never really on other shows. I just kind of like, hey, I like doing this stuff. And if you can give me an hour of your time, I would love to talk about your products for free.
See, and we just got to flip the script. And that was actually quite a fun conversation because it wasn't product-based. It was just... Yeah. Where are we at technology wise, and it was a lot of fun, but yeah, the Listening Room podcast is a real sort of baby of mine, and we spend a lot of time talking about the necessity of music and the importance of music. We've had some very cool musicians and engineers on there, and actually I just dropped one today about Alzheimer's and music therapy and all. So, you know, we get to kind of just anything that's got something to do with music, I like to bring it up and talk about it. So, yeah, thanks for bringing it up. I do appreciate that.
No, I think it's a great show, and I think it's cool because it shows a personal side to the brand, and it brings attention to music and the love for music, and it shows a little bit more drive about the product. Yeah, we make some really great stuff, but here's a little more information about audio and different parts of, you know, from musicians, from recording to... You know, personalities, just everything, and because I find music so fascinating, I think it's a cool way to kind of like just have a conversation with people from all walks of life, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and you know, and to that end, I'm a jaded, cynical audio engineer who's been around and seen this and done that, and you know, one of the joys that I have working with this company, and I don't want to sound too Pollyanna-ish about this, but it kind of is that way. These folks really dig what they do, and you know, from the engineers right on down to, you know, to everybody, it's about being involved in music, and it's about being involved in giving that great musical experience. So for a guy like me, who's basically knocked around for, you know, all the years of my career doing audio things, it's a real joy to work for a company that's doing a product like this. And I know that probably sounds a little over the top, but you know me kind of well enough to now, at this point, that's the way I feel about it. It's just a very cool place to be.
I think so, man. I kind of envy your job. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I wake up some mornings and go, you know what? Whatever's annoying me that day, just shut up and deal with it because it's all good. Yeah.
I have a friend from she's gonna be mad that I don't remember the specific town in the UK, but she's from the UK, and I was like, yeah, you know, I did the show with KEF, and she's like, who? And I'm like, how much do you know about audio? And like, I'm like, let's like pair them like really close to where you live, and okay, I could be wrong, and I don't know, and so every time I try and direct her, I'm like, just listen to me talk for like an hour, and she's like, I listen to you talk 8 hours a day, and I'm done. I'm like, all right. I was just trying to be cool, and it didn't work, and.
Yeah. Well, she could let you off the hook a little easy and say, oh, sure, and then not listen, but say, oh, sure, I'll listen. I mean,
yeah,
you know.
No, she's a good friend, though. let's I should probably ask you, what color, what flavor of the LS50 do you have at home? What did you pick? Or do they not give you choices that here, this is what you get?
I didn't get a choice, so I had the white with the copper or the rose colored Uni-Q. And in full disclosure, they have to go back. They're not really mine.
Well, you know.
But such is life.
I think that for me, I feel like I'm in that same boat, like when I get a new toy, some new gear, and it's one of those things. It's like, hey, I'm kind of like testing it, I'm listening to it before its official launch. The toughest part is always sending it back.
Sending it back. And
Yeah.
these actually, I have to pack them up and send them tomorrow. But I have my 5.1 system up in my living room is a passive LS50 in the left and the right in the center, and then with a pair of T300s on stands in the back for my surrounds. So I'm well bathed in LS50 sound on a regular basis, and I can say that they match the timbre of the passives with the actives really, really quite well. And then I will plug down. So I have a 2.0 system because I'm a 2.0 freak. When it comes to music, I shut my subwoofer off. I just want to hear exactly what I'm hearing. And
Yeah.
I use my R300s down here in the secret audio lair. And I love those little guys to death.
Some people, well, I guess everyone's different, right? I love a two channel system, just two channel. And I mean, not to say that I don't love low end frequencies and bass, because I do, but I like just a simple two channel system, because for one, I want to hear the way it was engineered. Because
Right.
I want to hear the sound of that unaltered with any low end frequency, just kind of like flooding it out a little bit. Because a lot of times that's what you're going to get, or in my opinion, it's just really kind of like yeah, muddies out the a lot of the mids and everything else. I mean, again, I do love subwoofers and stuff, because it's all the low end stuff, and it really shakes my body up, and you can feel like all that extra oomph.
Absolutely. Oh,
Yep.
yeah.
But at the
You know,
same time, some of these speakers, Kef included, you don't need a subwoofer, or depending on what you're doing, right? I feel like there's so much low end coming from such a small package in certain cases, that it is truly just like, this is the way this is intended. This is the way the music sounds naturally, and I
right.
don't want to alter it.
Right. And that's, to the modern ear, somebody who's used to listen to stuff with a lot of high end, to kind of circle back on the LS50 wireless, we have an onboard DSP that you could base you could boost the bass up a little bit if you wanted to. And I mean, for movies and all, I'm subwoofering out. I love to hear that rumble, and I love to hear the shake. And depending on what type of music I'm listening to, if it's something that with a lot of fat low bass notes, if it's modern stuff or it's kind of a hip hop or whatever, then well then yeah, the subwoofer is almost it's almost necessary, for certain types of music.
Sure.
But for other types of music, I sometimes find it distracting. And I like to hear what the kick drum is saying. And I don't like to just sometimes always hear that thud. I like to hear the attack and the decay of the kick drum and some of the finer points of it with specific types of music. If I'm listening to jazz or things like that, I find sometimes, and that's just my personal taste, that it doesn't work for me. But give me an opportunity with a movie or with other kind of music, and it gets pretty fat in my house, yeah.
Before we go any further, again, I should mention Ingram Micro, the world's largest technology distributor delivering flexible multi-channel supply chain solutions and more. Head over to ingrammicro.com and check out all these products. Maybe Kev's on the list. I guess you won't know unless Jack gives the information, and or you'll have to head over to ingrammicro.com. One of those things will probably happen.
Yeah, go check it
So what else is new at Kef? You said there's some new stands that are probably geared towards these LS50 wireless, right?
Yeah, we get a lot of inquiries because our stuff is higher end with the R300s, which is a bookshelf type speaker, and the LS50s and all. We get people calling a lot of the time. So do we have a custom made or a bespoke stand for them? And it was something that we avoided doing because I don't it's very difficult to match a stand with decor and all, and we kind of stayed out of that until we got involved with our new reference. And the reference one, we made a stand custom for that speaker in the same finish and all, and it was really wildly popular. So what we're trying to do is bring one more level of quality and service to our customers and say, well, you know, this is a stand that fits. It's got the right weight. It's not going to bounce around on you and cause all different kind of comb filtering or you know, all that other technical stuff that can go on with a stand that can really ruin a speaker's performance if the stand isn't right. So we've built the stands to those specs and yeah, they're coming out. I haven't seen them yet, but they're going to be out very shortly. I know the folks up in the main office in New Jersey have seen them and they've been really thrilled about them. So I'm excited to be able to offer that as one more thing for our customers.
Yeah, I think that's some of the trouble that I have is when picking speakers or helping other people come to that area. A lot of manufacturers, I think, in the same boat as we're not a stand manufacturer. You know, at one point we kind of had them, and kind of it's really tough for the reasons the
Right.
core, and it's just really tough. So it's we something we don't offer anymore. You know, we had them, that's long gone. You can get them from so and so. But then it's like matching them. You know, does it match the room? Is it suitable for the speaker? Is it going to be everything that the speaker needs? It's
Yeah,
tough.
and there's things with a stand that a consumer has to be, you know, aware of that. If the stand develops standing waves underneath of it, you know, if there's a thing called comb filtering where the stand will vibrate at a specific resonant frequency, excuse me, and that can actually cause cancellation of certain frequencies. So you could have this magnificent sounding pair of speakers, and you know you got it home and whatever, and they sound great, and you put them on the stands, and at certain frequencies, boom, you just kind of lose it. Or conversely, they can be sympathetic to each other, and then you get, you know, at one particular frequency all the time, you get that the dreaded buzz that you'll get, or you'll get just an increase in volume at that. So a lot of people always view stands as an afterthought. And you know, to my mind, if you're spending $1,500 or $3,000 or $5,000 on a pair of speakers, and then you kind of cut corners and get yourself a $200 or $300 or $500 pair of stands, not only are they, you know, maybe not going to hold the stand up very well, but from an audio standpoint, you could really run into a lot of problems with that. So it is something you have to pay attention to.
It's nice that KEF is now offering something, especially for this newer product. Like you said, they did, and then it didn't work out, or it was tough. And now, with the new reference product, it's made specifically for that line.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and of course our reference speakers are, you know, they're the flagship. I mean, Blade and Muon, the really big sort of aluminum guys are, you know, certainly the flagship, but our reference speakers are really, they're just a head and shoulders product. And so with the reference ones, a stand, it was really incumbent upon us to have a stand that matched the performance and the look of these of those particular speakers. So from that point, we said, hey, look, it's working really well. Let's try and offer it for some of the other products as well.
The Rocky Mountain Audio Fest just happened. I don't know if you attend that. I'm sure Kef probably does. Were
Kef
you
is,
there?
yeah, I wasn't there. But we did have a presence there, and we kind of team up with a company out there and kind of share things, and we do things with some other amplifier people and turntable people and all. But we were definitely there. Did you make it out there this time, or you didn't
No,
make it?
I have yet to make it to that show. So, Rave, if you're listening, I would love to go. Hey. No, I have a friend that does the social media for the last 4 years for that company, and he's more of a headphone guy. I mean, he still, obviously loves everything else, but I think he's more on the personal audio side of things.
Okay.
So no, that I haven't been yet. I'd love to. It sounds like a
Yeah.
good time. I probably would never want to come back, except for the snow and all that stuff. But yeah, because it's in
Yeah.
Colorado, correct?
Yeah, it's in Denver, and it's in Denver in October, so you have no idea what the weather's going to be from one minute to the next in Denver in October.
Yeah.
I was out there a couple of years ago, and I flew in to 75 or 80 degrees, and 2 days later, the airport was closed because of the amount of snow that was there. And of course, I had, you know, sort of polo shirts and short sleeve shirts, and you know, so I learned about Denver from that particular trip.
The last time I was in Denver was for CEDIA several years back, and It was an interesting week there. Nice place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where do you think the next evolution with the wireless product is going? While the LS50 wireless is the latest adaptation to the wireless offerings, it seems like with the Muo, the little kind of like handheld carry around guy, and now you're kind of like your two channel stuff here, even though the Muo can be a stereo pairing together.
Right.
Do you see, and maybe you can't say because it's already in process, some of the larger flagship stuff going wireless as well?
At this point, I don't have anything to say, like sort of one way or the other. There's things that are in the books that I'm not aware of,
Sure.
and there's things that are in the books that I am aware of. But for now, we're really kind of pushing hard and working on this particular footprint
Okay.
and this particular product. And I, next gen will be. See, what we did is, we're running full 192 28 resolution all the time. So we're kind of sitting there and saying, okay, we're at the state of the art right now. We're ready to receive whatever you're going to send us at that particular high level. Whether you're only just playing MP3s or whatnot, we're ready to accept all of it. And I think, there's so much churn in the industry right now, and there's so many things changing. Not really necessarily on the speaker end of things, but on the playback end of things.
Yeah.
So we're going to kind of sit. I think most manufacturers on our end of the business are going to kind of sit and see where the state of the art goes in the next couple of years, because things have been moving so quickly and so rapidly. And one day it's this particular technology, and then you find out that we're not going in that direction. And your DSD is a comes to mind real quick on that. But what I will tell you is, we've got an entire stable of engineers who, we keep them very busy. They're on that hamster wheel, 40 hours plus a week. So we got stuff coming, but right now we're kind of digging on the LS50 wireless.
Okay, I mean, yeah, because it's so new, I mean, I could see this being a big hit for quite a while. I think initially with everyone, like, oh, we're going wireless, and I was kind of like, the first thought I was like, oh, great, wireless degrades audio, it's not a true signal path, and it's not quite, bit for bit what you're going to get from the recording studio. But then it's, as the evolution with Bluetooth on aptX technology and a few other things, I started listening to the evolution of products over the last year and a half, 2 years, and I've been thoroughly surprised
Yeah.
on the playback quality of what I was getting, and I was a bit set back on my initial, oh great, wireless products. I was surprised. I'm like, oh wow.
And I'm in this. I feel the same way about it as you do. And with this particular product, I have some really high-res files that are, and they're classical music, so they're very open. They're very spacious recordings, and there's a lot of room in there for a low, for a DAC or an eight, for basically, I guess, for a DAC or a streaming device to kind of show how weak it is with these particular recordings. And the LS50 wireless aside, we're just talking about the state of the technology right now. Yeah, they've come a long way, baby. I mean, it's really amazing in a short period of time. I mean, 4 years, 5 years, the availability, number one, and the just ubiquitous of the resource is amazingly high. So wireless is here to stay.
Oh,
Whether
yeah.
that's going to be Bluetooth or not, I envision a time in 5 or 6 years where whole house streaming is, and you would know, on that kind of end of the business, that's where people are moving, is whole house streaming and all. And it's exciting from an audiophile or, an audio engineer's kind of point of view, because we're able to get the actual recording and what was meant to be recorded out through these systems now, whereas in 5 years ago, we really weren't able to do that as well. Everybody across the industry.
Again, with the wireless, or a comment that I have about wireless is, initially, like, I was like, oh great, but now because it's gotten so good, the quality is kind of like blown my mind a little bit about how good it can be.
Yeah.
I feel that the wireless that we are now is a great representation of the needs for common people, right? You know, I'm on the go, I'm this and that, I'm wireless. I don't want to be tethered. I don't want, you know, my headphones to be wired. I want to go around and go to the gym. I'm a runner or whatever. Or I just don't have the capability to run wires. I'm in an apartment, whatever it is. It's just another option for people in our current state, where maybe not everyone listening, you know, owns a home. I myself don't. I live in an apartment, but I have speakers everywhere, right? So I have different needs, right? I mean, I don't have any in-ceiling stuff because I don't think they'd like if I did that.
Probably not.
Yeah, probably not. But you know, surprise, surprise, it's gonna happen anyway. I like, you know, different, you know, with headphones. I like on ear. I like over ear. I like in ear. There's different needs, right, for what I'm doing. Because I like audio so much, I have the need to try different stuff on my desktop wired. I have some wireless stuff back to amplifier. The capability is nice, or a wired system, whether I'm doing vinyl or digital. I like the idea of being flexible and having options. And now that we live in this digital era, there are so many options now, and now wireless coming to where it is now, it is a very viable option for quality. And Kef is definitely helping perpetuate the, not the stereotype, but build, I think, a better reputation for what wireless can be.
Well, we were slow coming to it because we've been around for 55 years, and we have a reputation as a company that does things, at a specific level, an audio level and all. And we kind of, people would wonder, well, you're kind of slow to the game, you're slow to Bluetooth and all. And that was really, that was done on purpose, because when we got into the game, we wanted to make sure that it wasn't going to hurt the brand at all, and that when we did it, we did it right, and that the technology was available to us to do what we do on a regular basis. And to think about it, as a music lover, I can't imagine a time to be alive that's better than this, because you have all the great music that's being made today, all the great music that's been made over the last however many, dozens of years and decades or whatever it is, and you have options to listen to it in any way you want. You can, if you want to go old school, vinyl is there for you. If you want to just listen to it on your phone with a pair of earbuds, that's there for you. And it's a phenomenal time. And sometimes it makes me a little crazed to hear people kind of bemoan, where the industry is, where the music industry and all is. There's a lot of churn in the industry. Things are kind of upended from the artist standpoint. But as far as a listener is concerned, wow, it's fantastic. It really is.
Yeah, there really are so many options now, like you said. You know, you want to go digital, you want to go old school, you want to go analog, you want to go wireless, you want, you know, I could be on my computer and send that to a wireless signal, I could hardwire out, I could have choice of DACs, speakers, cables, you name it, and there's a solution or multiple solutions for it. And it's, yeah, from the listener standpoint, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it really is. In my room, I can go to my CD collection if I want. I can go to my vinyl collection if I want. I can go to my digital collection on my laptop if I want. I take my phone, I make a playlist, I plug it in the car with the USB. My wife and I went on a ride up into the hills of Kentucky on Saturday, and I made a playlist for us on the phone and just set it and forget it. And it sounded great. So yeah, it's a great time to be a music lover, man. It really is.
One thing I will say about music and how you or people find it today, right? So digital really changed the way on how we're getting our information, music, and how much of it and how fast we're getting it. I think it's great in that I can spend just a few minutes online and acquire so much if I choose to, right?
Right.
It's just out there in so many different forms, right? Via monthly service, I can download it in high res. I can go MP3 if that's, I want to pay a buck, whatever. If that's what my flavor is, that's fine. And it's simple, it's fast, it's available. Computer, mobile. However, the one thing that I really miss, and yes, it'll take a little longer, but this might be more of the old school vinyl way, is going down to an actual music store and spending an hour, multiple hours, just kind of digging through, you know, the vinyl crates or CD, whatever. Just going and looking. Oh, hey, you know, there's a new, you know, whoever out right now. And I didn't know that this, you know, album even existed, or there's an old one I didn't know existed, and or they've
Right.
remastered what you know at this Jimi Hendrix at Woodstock, whatever it was, and going to a player, putting on a set of headphones, and listening to him like, this is perfect. I want this. I want it.
Right.
Spending that time in the music store, I think, is something I miss quite a bit. And I have a local, you know, record store called the Last Record Store. As funny as that is,
right.
It's a funny place, and you know, it's got these weird little jackalope with antlers on the wall and his little thing, and I enjoy doing that. And they have less and less options to like listen to the music now. It's CD, and I really miss like the being able to like. It's the same way I feel about vinyl. Like so, I own vinyl, I own disc, I own you know digital. So take a record, take it out of the sleeve, open it up. You know, that fresh smell. You know, it even comes with the whole booklet and like display of you know about the music and the artists.
Sure.
There's a whole story behind it. Taking the you know this whatever it is 180 gram piece of vinyl, laying on the turntable, you know, going through the motions, sitting back and hanging out and just listening to music. The whole process of that is just a different. It takes longer, but just that whole process just makes me feel a bit more in tuned with the artists and the music, and it's a different experience for me, I guess, than digital allows to be like this quick and ready to go. I don't like that. I want to go to something different. To do that in the analog sense, you really have to like go through this whole process just to get to that. Yeah, I don't like that. Or right. I love it. Yeah. So
well,
I kind of miss it.
It's an experience, and you hit it right, you know, the nail right on the head. It allows, that's the closest you're going to get to your favorite musical artist is the actual, you know, pulling of the vinyl out of the sleeve, rubbing it on your jeans to break the cellophane open, and putting it out there, and then sitting and reading the liner notes, whatever, and, you know, and sitting with friends and listening to things. Music has become a very personal experience to people now, which is great. I love the fact that music is a personal experience, but there's also that communal sense, and music is a very tribal thing, and it's very important as human beings to be a member of a tribe. So we don't get that when we listen, and we don't get that when we go shopping for music. And you know, I'm real lucky living in Nashville that you know there's a couple of great old school record stores that you know I make my monthly pilgrimage to. And you know, shout out to Grimey's on 8th in downtown. It's a fabulous record store, and it's the people that work there. They care about it, you know, and I'll walk in there and say like, hey, do you have this, you know, and they'll be like, and I'll be like, I can't think of the guy's name, but he did this song. They're like, yeah, there it is. It's right here.
Yep.
And, you know, I could do that on Spotify.
Sure.
I do it on Spotify, but there's something about walking in there on a Friday night, you know, and smelling the vinyl and hearing the band that's playing downstairs and all this stuff. And it makes music very communal and tribal to me. And that's the thing that I lament the most. That people are losing nowadays is that tribalism. You know, it's us against them. It's our music, and we share it together. And that's a really, really important thing.
Yeah. So to go back to Spotify or Tidal or Pandora, however, wherever Beats music, whatever Apple Music, whatever it's called now, in the digital format, you can still do that. It's a different experience. So what I like to do on the digital side is like, you know, I could, you know, I'll just play something in the background and just kind of playing, you know, I'm like, oh, that's a cool song. What is that? Look at it really quick. And then I might learn about a whole new band or song or whichever and do a little research on them. And then if I really like it, I can kind of click through the song. So that's the thing that I like. You know, I don't have to be, you know, I could be at work and it's just playing. And then I learned a little bit about that. You know what? After work, I'm going to head down to the music store, the Last Record Store. And I'm going to go talk to the guys and girls there and see if they know anything about this and help. Maybe they carry this band or this music.
Right.
You know, I want to purchase this, you know, on analog and on my two channel system or however. And if they don't, you know, maybe I can get them to order it for me or something like that, or I could go online, however. But yeah, I would, you know, it would kind of redirect me to get that in the physical sense. And okay, I'm going to go down after work and get excited about something that way.
And when you think about it, it's really no different now than it was in, say, the 1970s or, you know, the 1980s for the most part, or even before that, where your Spotify was your FM radio, if you were lucky, or your AM radio, if you weren't lucky, in your car. And that was your Spotify.
Sure.
And you would hear something, and you go, oh, I got, you know, that song, this. And you would then go to your record store, and you do exactly what you're saying and have people pick it up. for you, or find it, or say, "Well, was this artist?" or so on and so forth. And that's what Spotify kind of has replaced. I have bought so much vinyl off of some of the wacky playlists that I've developed on Spotify, that of bands that I never would have ever heard of or considered, had I, and they never would have made FM. See, that's the other side of the coin too. They never would have made the radio stations, sort of, certainly not in New York City, and probably not here in Nashville. So I never would have heard of them. But because of Spotify, and I like Saint Paul and the Broken Bones, so I made a Saint Paul and the Broken Bones playlist, and all of a sudden, you know, it's J. Roddy Walston in the Business, who is like my absolute favorite hard band right now. Never would have heard of them. Never would have known anything about them. Went out and got the vinyl. So there's a real lot of positivity going on there. And just as long as we don't let that tribalism slip away, we'll be okay.
Yeah, it's definitely a great time to be a music enthusiast, listener, fan. There's so many options. And so back to whatever your preferred method of listening to it that is, there are still a ton of really quality options, and now the LS50 is giving you another one.
Yeah, you go. What a way to, what, that was just summed up so perfectly, Johnny. I love the way you did that, because it's exactly right. We can go through all of this, and at the end of the day, here's Kef. We got something for you that you're really going to dig.
I was inspired by a great little brand called Kef. And on that note, I feel like we should kind of round out the show. If there's anything else you want to mention, the LS50, December 1st, pre-orders now. You can go to Kef Direct or
Or your dealer,
call
or
your
your
local
local
dealer,
dealer.
right? If you don't know where your local dealer is, well, head over to, what is it, Kef America? Is that the other?
Well, it would be kef.com would be the main site, and that's where the dealer locator is,
Kef,
and then
Kef.com.
kefdirect.com.
Okay.
And you could always, when in doubt, you could hit us with an email at info@kefamerica.com and say, "Hey, I live in, Paducah. Where's the nearest dealer to me?" Which actually, from Paducah, it would be Nashville. But there's another way to go there, and you can follow us on Facebook at Facebook/Kef_America. That Facebook is Kef America, and on Twitter is Kef_America.
There you go.
And so you can keep up with what we're doing there. And I just, again, I really want to thank you for the time, and I always enjoy getting into these other conversations with you, because like we're birds of a feather, and I just love going down those roads with you. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'd love to have you back on another show anytime you want to talk about music, technology, anything. The tribal
Yeah.
experience of music. I'd love to have you
There you go.
back.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Anytime. You know where I'm at. And likewise for me, when we get back into the next season of the podcast after the holidays, we're going to have part two of our original conversation there. That'd be great.
Sounds great. For anyone listening who still is interested on where they can send me those pre-orders for the LS50 wireless for the holiday season, my personal email is Johnny, JohnnyNNY Mota, MOTA, the number 3 at gmail.com. That's JohnnyMota3 at gmail.com. I will take any color of LS50 you choose to send to me. That'd be great. Just send me some details there. Or if you just want to talk about the podcast, that's cool too. Everyone, this is AV Insider, a rave radio, rave pubs show. Thank you for listening. We'll catch you on the next one. And again, if you want to chat at me on Twitter, should that still exist tomorrow, that's JMOTA3, JMOTA3, and Johnny Mota or JMOTA3 everywhere else. And yeah, thanks for listening. This has been AV Insider. We'll catch you on the next show.